Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for South Australia.
G'day there, everyone, and welcome to Sports Day on this Friday evening. The week's open line is 822-3000. The text line 0437-693-060. If you want to have your say on any issue that takes your fancy, I'm Ben Hook. I'm in the chair for David Wilde for the next couple of weeks. Joining me, as always, is Ken KG Cunningham. Happy Friday to you, KG. Hey, we've got a bit of a fun night ahead of us tonight.
Well, we have, Ben. It's the best day of the week, too, Friday. Going into the weekend, plenty of sport to look at. And cheerful, fantastic.
As soon as we knock off tonight, it's the eliminator in the BBL between the Adelaide Strikers and the Hobart Hurricanes. That game is at the MCG, and I'm very, very excited for the Adelaide Strikers.
Well, it's an amazing turnaround, Ben. They were languishing at the bottom of the premiership table, couldn't win a match. Lo and behold, things changed completely. Now we've got Head and Carey back. We're one of the favourites.
Absolutely. Woo-hoo. And apparently we've won the bat flip and we're going to bat first. So that game will get underway. I reckon by the time we're about three quarters of the way through the show tonight at around about quarter to seven. But we've won the toss. So that's not a bad start. Then, of course, you need two TVs, KG, because taking on Camilla Giorgi in the third round of the Australian Open is our very own Ash Barty.
And she's on fire. Absolutely on fire.
Has dropped three games in the opening two rounds.
She might drop a few more tonight, I think.
I think I made this point to you on Wednesday night. She's held serve, if you go back to the Adelaide International,
you did.
She's held serve 49 times straight.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe that? 40. I mean, not even the greatest servers in the world hold serve 49
times.
That's
been a great story, the Ash Barty story, really. The overall comeback by Ash Barty has been sensational.
She is something else. Barbecues Galore, shop online and in-store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge, now you are cooking. Oh, great night for a barbecue tonight. It's been a hot day, KG.
Any night's a great night for a barbecue.
If you don't have a barbecue, you get into Barbecues Galore. There's a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Yep. I imagine that we're going to have some people ring in and discuss this as well. Issue number one.
Yep.
We talked about this on Wednesday night.
Yep.
The crowds that turn up for Nick Kyrgios matches, they are not tennis crowds. Are they good for tennis?
No, there was one person there last night that should have been evicted. He kept booing Medvedev the whole game. Where was security, for goodness sake? You could hear him above the crowd booing Medvedev. And I'm saying to myself, get that imbecile out of the stadium. Send him home. Put him in an Uber or a cab and get him out of here.
And that's fine. You've heard one voice over everyone else.
Yeah, I did.
But, I mean, this has become a bit endemic with Nick Kyrgios matches, that people turn up just to carry on like galoots, as the great Taylor Walker would say.
Galoots.
Carry on like galoots. Yeah. And as a result, they are offending the rest of the tennis world, in particular the opposition player.
Well, they did last night. Medvedev made the point that there was jeering between serves and so forth. Look, I don't know whether it's the Kyrgios fans that are doing this. They love him. They're passionate about him. He's a wonderful player. But when he's on song, he's not on song for long enough. But last night he produced some of the most unbelievable shots you've ever seen, Ben. Unbelievable.
We spoke about this also on Wednesday night. Yep. I said he would barely give Medvedev a run for his money. He's out in the second round once again. Do we give this guy a little bit too much airplay for a bloke who's just an okay tennis player? I mean, he's very, very flashy and very, very talented. But I tell
you
what, when push comes to shove, when he comes up against the big guns, he normally falls apart, and he fell apart last night.
Well, he did, but he's keeping in mind he's beaten Djokovic on two occasions, so he can't be all that bad a player. The thing that really concerns me is the accent and behaviour of the crowd. It's not good. It wasn't good last night. And Kyrgios, they love him. They love him. But I agree. Something has to be done about the crowd.
I've got one more issue that I want to talk to you about as well. Yeah. Oh, by the way, when we're talking about everything that's on TV tonight, the Matildas play Indonesia tonight as well in the Asian Cup. So,
gee whiz.
How do you go with three TV? You need
got
your,
no
you need your
idea,
mobile,
Ben.
Your mobile phone, your iPad and your TV all in front of you. So, there is plenty happening tonight. I've got a question for you, KG.
Yep.
I noticed today that Sri Lanka, who was supposed to be playing a T20 match against Australia at Adelaide Oval, that match has now been shifted to the MCG. It was supposed to be on February 18. I've barely heard a ripple about it today. And here's my question to you.
Yep.
Has the gloss worn off Adelaide Oval?
No.
Are we not quite so bothered about turning up anymore? No. Is it not the jewel in the crown that it once was? Are we getting to a stage where people are saying, you know what, I'm just as happy to sit at home as watch it? It was a must. It was a must to go to Adelaide Oval to see the Crows or Port Adelaide, yep, to be there for the test match. I'm just wondering if people, after 8 wonderful years of the redeveloped Adelaide,
yep,
Oval,
yep,
are just starting to move on.
Look, I think there are some people that during this pandemic, and we had crowds cut and so forth, stayed home and watched and suddenly said, okay, I can stay home. It won't cost me as much. I can see the game in its clarity. I think there are some people like that. But the jewel in the crown will always be, Ben, the Adelaide Oval. You've only got to ask, look, you just got to ask anybody. That is the best ground in the world, Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
Now, life's changed. The pandemic's with us. People are hesitant to go out. That has to affect everybody, and it has, even at the MCG and other grounds around Australia. But, Ben, no one will convince me ever that Adelaide Oval is not one of the best grounds in the world, without a shadow of a doubt. There's no honeymoon with the Adelaide Oval. It's just a beautiful place.
I accept everything you say about the Adelaide Oval. I am just as passionate about it as you, and I'm sure that everyone else is just as passionate as well, but I'm interested. 8223 0000, yep, the week's open line.
Yep.
I'm interested in people who would have turned up for the cricket maybe 3 or 4 years ago, because going to Adelaide Oval to see Australia play was a must-see experience,
yep,
and now they're not quite so bothered.
Look,
I accept the pandemic.
It's got nothing to do with the Adelaide Oval. It's purely and simply life. The pandemic, that's frightened the hell out of people. That's why a lot of people aren't going. And when they were forced to stay home, they enjoyed just watching the game from their armchair. It's got nothing to do. The interest and the love for the Adelaide Oval is still enormously high, no doubt.
I'm going to be interested to see what happens, and we don't know where the pandemic's going, of course,
but I'm going to
be fascinated to see what happens with Port Adelaide and Adelaide Football Club crowds,
yep,
over the course of this coming football season.
You've got to understand that we've never been through anything like this, the pandemic, and people quite obviously and quite correctly are concerned about their health. Health comes first, and it's always going to affect the crowds at Adelaide Oval until we get it clarified.
Paul from Gawler has rung in, wants to have his say on Adelaide Oval. Paul, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey, g'day, boys. Two quick things. One on Adelaide Oval, one on Nick Kyrgios. So,
right.
But firstly, I think you'll find when last year when they cut the crowds, a lot of people got their seats reallocated.
Yep.
Now, I know I was lucky I didn't get my seats moved, and I've got outstanding people who packed the shits and said,
don't swear.
Sorry. I've got the dirt, and because they weren't in their seats and didn't go. Now, that's pretty ordinary. I mean, I'd go and watch Port play if I had to stand on a jam tin.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know?
That's pathetic,
yeah,
really.
And secondly, Kenneth,
yep,
2 nights ago I rung you and I talked about our boy Nick Kyrgios and complimented him on how he played,
yep,
on the Tuesday night. But I said, let's see what happens when he gets under pressure and when he goes pear-shaped.
Yep.
Now, did he not go pear-shaped at some stage last night?
Yes, he did. Yep, he did.
He might have you here, yeah. KG. Paul from Gawler, I reckon, might be one KG nil.
No, he did go pear shaped.
He is a great player. There is no doubt. But he obviously doesn't have a coach. And I read something in social media today. Why doesn't someone like Darren Cale or I know Leighton Hewitt's tied up with the other lad, but get hold of this guy, because
yep,
this guy has so much potential. But he's got nothing between his ears.
Well, the problem with him, Paul, is the fact that he lacks drive. He lacks the initiative to show what he really can do. God's given him an enormous amount of talent. He's beaten Djokovic twice. That stands for itself. But he just lacks the fight to get there where he should be. And that annoys me.
Good on you, Paul. Thanks for the call.
Waste of bloody talent.
Nick Kyrgios has made the quarterfinals twice,
yep,
in any major. I mean, that is not the record of a great tennis player, is it?
It's not, Ben. But if you ask any of the players on the circuit, the one man they don't like coming up against is Kyrgios, because he can do the unbelievable. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what game plan he's got. And sometimes I don't think Kyrgios knows. He's unpredictable. He can play the unbelievable shot.
He's a showman. I love all of that. Yep. But let's be honest, when it comes to the second week of a major, Nick Kyrgios is usually not there. Tyrone has called in, wants to have a chat about Adelaide Oval. Tyrone, welcome to Sports Day.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we?
Good,
very well.
Tyrone. Yeah, fine.
Now, Ken, I just heard you say about, you know, why crowds aren't going
yep.
to Adelaide Oval. Now, yep. I'll just take football for an example.
Right.
Back even in 2016-17, yep. even before this virus hit, I work with so many passionate Port Adelaide members
yep.
and Crows members.
Yep.
And the thing that they were telling me at the time was they used to go to the football, they could buy their tickets, and there could be 10, 12 people. And they all every week they went, they could sit next to each other.
Yeah, good point.
And even back then, it was like, I don't want to go to the football anymore because I thought I was going there and I got stuck behind a pole, or part of us was sitting over there and part of us was sitting over there. I think that's got a lot to do with it.
So what's the answer to it? What do you think should be done to alleviate that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, talking with these people, even back then, it was they blamed their football club. Whether it's Port or the Crows,
yep.
they couldn't work out why all of a sudden, after all these years being
yep.
paid up, you know, gold members, whatever,
yep.
why things changed. Now, I can understand now with the virus and everything, yes, of course, you're not going to be able to do that. But they were complaining even back then.
Fascinating, isn't it? Tyrone, appreciate your call. No, that is going to be an ongoing discussion, KG.
Yep.
I love Adelaide Oval. You love Adelaide yep. Oval. Everyone in South Australia loves Adelaide Oval. Yeah, but do we really want to turn up to these sports events anymore?
Yeah, but hang on, Ben. It's got nothing to do with the Oval.
No.
The Oval doesn't sell the tickets. The Adelaide Oval stands alone. That's the Oval is one of the best grounds in the world. It's ticketing, which is run by the clubs and so forth. That's the problem. There's nothing to do with the Oval, Bill.
Sure
you of that.
Fascinating topic, and we'll continue the discussion after a break. 8223 0000. Lumo SA, Aussie-owned energy with plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. Don't go away. You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, you're on Sports Day with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. We've got a huge show coming up for you. Matthew Mott, the coach of the Australian women's cricket team, to join us a little bit later on and to wrap up the show.
Oh.
Crystal Blum, young, up-and-coming Adelaide golfer. Looking forward to chatting to her ahead of the Melbourne International, which gets underway on Monday. KG, let's just take a quick Australian Open update for the super fast-charging all-electric Kia EV6. And I tell you what, there's some really interesting scores going on. Gael Monfils is through in straight sets today. He won the Adelaide International, so
yep.
he is primed to go
Correct.
Deep into the second
he
week.
Can play
Experienced
too.
Lad, but yeah, going very, very nicely. Alex Zverev, of course, who knocked off John Millman, I think it was, in the second round,
yep.
Looks like he's going to go through in straight sets as well. He's a set and a break up. But I'm really interested in the women's singles. There's been some fascinating results there. Madison Keys, she is back to her best. She's won through in three sets today, so she did it tough. Maria Sakkari's through. Barbora Krejcikova has won in three sets over Yelena Ostapenko, a couple of former major winners.
You handle his names pretty well, man.
Paula Badosa, who I'm a big rap for, the number eight seed, has won through in three sets as well. Victoria Azarenka, another legend of the game.
Yep.
She's won through. She beat Alina Svitolina today, 6-love and 6-2, so that was outstanding as well. Ash Barty, of course, in action tonight. So with Rafael Nadal, he'll take Karen Khachanov as well. So I've got a couple more callers who want to talk about Adelaide Oval. Let's take Chris. Chris wants to talk about Adelaide Oval. Chris, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, Chris.
Look, I think it's time we woke up. And you go to the MCG, you don't know where you're going to sit. It is time that we woke up and grew up. You don't have to sit with your family. You just go to the football or the cricket. And you watch it, and you catch up whenever. It's just...
Yeah, but hang on, Chris. It's nice to go to the cricket or football with your family. Surely.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter to some people.
Well, it does, but It does, but they're all in the 80s.
Oh,
the ones
rubbish.
The ones like us in the 50s.
No, sorry.
You do. You don't have to sit with your family. You go to the footy, you watch the game, and you barrack, and you don't have to sit with. And at the cricket. Well, what does it matter if you don't
well,
sit
Chris,
with your family?
Well, Chris, it matters a lot. People like to go to the footy and the cricket as a family.
Chris, it's a very good point. Thank you for your call. We're going to take one more call. We've got Dino wants to talk about Adelaide Oval. Dino, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey, guys. Just quickly, I'm a member, been a member of Port since they moved to Adelaide Oval. This year, I'm thinking I'm not going to be able to go to too many games. I catch public transport and... To be honest with you, I don't really want to get on public transport at the moment with everything that's going on.
Yep.
You know, it takes quite a while to get there. You know, North Terrace is always, it takes 20 minutes just to get down North Terrace to get to the Oval.
Good point.
And it's not actually Adelaide Oval itself. It's actually getting there on the public transport. People don't want to get on with, people that they don't know. You can't even open a window in there. So I think for me, that's an issue.
Yeah, it is an issue.
Good point, Gino. Thank you for your call. Sorry for calling you Dino before as well. I didn't read the screen too well.
There
was
Benny.
Gino. The super fast, all charging, all electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au and save a massive $45,000 on all next gen homes. Visit weeks.com.au. Hey, KG, we're going to take a break because on the other side, looking forward to chatting to this fella. It is the coach of the Australian women's cricket team. He'll have a big smile on his face as well after their huge performance against England last night. We'll be chatting to Matthew Mott. Don't go away.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day with Ben Hook and KG Cunningham. We're doing it thanks to Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. Think safety this January. Get the 5-minute tyre safety check at your local Tyre Power. Well, KG, I didn't join you on air last night because I was at Adelaide Oval and I saw an outstanding performance, not just from the Australian cricket team in the opening game of the Commonwealth Bank Women's Ashes Series, the T20 game. They were outstanding, all of them, but in particular, our girl Talia McGrath. She was on our show on Wednesday night, and she is now an official member of the Sports SA family.
What did I say to you about her batting? Her technique is the best technique I've seen from a young female cricketer in a long, long time, Benny.
Her coach is Matthew Mott, and he has been good enough to join us now. Motty, welcome to Sports Day.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, guys.
What an outstanding performance, mate. Firstly from the team, but also Talia McGrath. Mate, there's five statues at Adelaide Oval, all of the men. Is it time to build a statue of a woman? And that should be T. McGrath.
Yeah, look, mate, I think she had a great night out last night, didn't she? I know Megan Schutz, a bit of a hometown favourite as well. But I think people forget because of that knock. But the wicket she got at the back end of the innings there when England were all over us turned the momentum of the game and kept them to 170. So great performance, bat and ball. She's a great young person. She's really emerged as a leader in the last year and a half as well. So very blessed to have her.
Matthew, the thing that's impressed me, when I first saw her earlier this year, I saw her a couple of times, she plays so straight. Her technique is absolutely so sound.
It is. And I think, she's been around for a while. People forget that she's played 10 years at WNTL and, grafted away for a long time. But where I think exactly what you said there, where she's really made the big leap in the last year is she's just backing her presence and power down the ground. And I think there was a while there where, in WNTL we watched her for a while and she'd have the team, right on the edge and then play a shot that wasn't on. And now every time she was under pressure last night, hit a boundary, she took a really good option and took a lot of pressure off the captain. And it was an innings to remember.
Motty, you make a really good point about taking the pressure off the captain, but I'd also say there's a bit of flip side there as well. Talia had the confidence to play her strokes, knowing that she had someone so reliable at the other end, and that's really important, the captain like Meg Lanning, just batting through the innings like she did.
Yeah, Meg's one of the great readers of the game, and I think she realised that Talia was on fire last night and was happy to play second fiddle, and that's the sign of her greatness, I guess, that she knew a young player was on and taking them apart. So she just sort of worked it nicely. And you always know if Meg Lanning's there at the end of the game, you're a big chance of winning the game. So that was what I really liked last night. We discussed that certainly in the post-match about Talia's awareness. To even though she was going well, she stepped it up another gear again just at the right time to really kill the chase.
You said that you had a chat in the post-match, and I'm sure that was, you know, you got a lot out of that. But you could have maybe just said to Meg, you know what, just block out a few dot balls and let Talia get 100 for the fans, for the South Aussies at home.
We were just talking about that before here. We're down at Karen Rolton Oval watching the A-team play, and, yeah, we're saying that, and it's just not in Meg's makeup. She wouldn't have expected it. If she was on the reverse, she would have said, nah, get the runs and just get this done, let's get off. Yeah, I don't think it even entered into mind. And probably an example of that was, I think the crowd were clapping for about 5 minutes before she acknowledged her own 50 last night. So she's certainly not about milestones. She's more about winning games of cricket, and I think that was pretty evident last night.
Gee, Matthew's going to take a big performance by England now to come back from that. That was a huge loss last night. So you're on the front foot. So England now have a bit of work to do.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it wasn't horrible for them either. I think their batting innings was very good. I think, as we said, I think Talia's over at the back end there. Two key wickets, set players, yep, made a big difference. So, you know, they could have put out a score of 190 if that hadn't happened. And that's a different chase, I think. 170, we always thought if we kept our composure and played good cricket shots, we could get there. But, that, you know, if they were reviewing, I would have thought that they'd be disappointed they didn't push it out and make it a bit more difficult for that chase. Obviously, once you get two batters set at Adelaide Oval,
beautiful.
It is a very difficult ground to defend. So, you know, it was a good. I think it was a good toss for us to win as well. So, that could, you know, we might be on the reverse end of that tomorrow. So, we've got to be mindful of that as well.
Matt, for those of you who don't know, Matthew Mott played quite a bit of first class cricket for Queensland and New South Wales. Is that a pitch you wouldn't mind making a comeback on?
I did look at that yesterday. I don't often get that feeling, but I was just like, oh my God, I've got to have one more crack at this. It'll be a great place to do it. They do it. I honestly don't think there's a better cricket ground in the world at the moment. The facilities there are absolute world class. You walk in there, you feel like you're in a cricket stadium. And I was there at the academy years ago, and I was one who didn't want that stand to go down. And you look at it now, and
yep,
I just think it's remarkable how that place is now. The facilities, the way you get looked after, it's just a pleasure to be there.
Yeah, Temi Beaumont in the opposition, she said it's the best place in the world to play cricket, even better than Lords.
It's
That's not bad from an Englishman.
It's the best ground in the world. I've been telling you this for all these years, Benny. Hey, Matty, can I be a little bit controversial here? The non-selection of Elise Perry caused a bit of a ripple. Can I ask you the reasons that occurred?
Yeah, look, I think it's been a thing that we've looked at for a while, yep, is our structure of our T20 batting. And yeah, you know, Elise probably hasn't played a pivotal role in our T20 batting for a while. And look, what we were really keen on, all our numbers suggest that, you know, from five onwards, you don't face a lot of balls. So we need players that, you know, and that's the selection of someone like Grace Harris, who can go out and get 15 or 20 off 10 balls. So it's not that she's not in the top six batters, and certainly in one-day cricket, she's a lock in at four for us. But we've now got this depth in our squad. We've got some players that have been brought up on T20 cricket, and they've come in and they're making a difference. So, look, she's still in the mix. She's out. We just watched her out here today. She'll be in that. We've got a massive 3 months of cricket ahead of us. So, these are only three T20 games, and the rest is ODIs and test match cricket. So she's going to play a huge role in that.
No, good answer.
We're talking to Matthew Mott, the coach of the Australian women's cricket team. I thought last night, Motti, you really went heavy on the pace attack. I wonder if, in particular, as the wicket that you're using at Adelaide Oval is probably going to get older and a little bit slower, that you'll maybe introduce more spin into the game. Jess Johnson only bowled a couple of overs, didn't use Ash Gardner at all. Do you think that that's something that may evolve over the next two games?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It was something we definitely discussed last night. I think that was the best the wicket's going to be. It was prepared perfectly for last night. I'd imagine, especially the bit of the heat around at the moment and even that drying wind, I think it will tend to dry out. So definitely see spin has been a big part of our attack for the last few years. Grace Harris didn't bowl last night either. So,
yes.
Yeah, certainly talking to Meg, I think our biggest issue and where we were probably a bit vulnerable last night was the power play. We want to tidy that up a little bit. The back end of that was not our best stuff. So you might see spin play a bit more of a role there as that goes on. But definitely through the middle, I thought our quicks did really well to pull it back, shoot a bowl well. But yeah, I definitely see spin playing more of a role in games two and three.
Matty, we're impressed with young Alana King's debut.
Yeah, I was. I was saying before, if you're going to debut, leg spin's got to be the hardest art.
Correct.
Especially T20. She's got a lot of nerve. You know, she got that first wicket. I thought she bowled well. Danny White, got her in one over, but I don't think it was anything that bad about the bowling. So she dissected the game pretty well last night. She's already taken a few things out of it. She fitted in well. She looked like she'd been there for a while.
Matty, I want to ask you about what happened in the last over of the bowling innings. It's a first, as far as I can recall, in Australian cricket, where you were deemed to have been slow in your over rate, and I reckon there's some mitigating factors with that that we could potentially talk about, but it meant that Megan Shute, who bowled the last over, was only allowed three fielders outside the circle instead of four. Pretty brutal rule, really. What do you make of the rule in general? And do you feel like you're a bit hard done by last night? I think there was a couple of DRS challenges. I reckon we started the game 2 minutes late, so nothing went right from that perspective, I didn't think.
Yeah, look, we were well aware of the rule, so we can't plead ignorance there. But I spoke to Sonny Kelliar, who's our analyst, and you know, we knew the rule was there, and I said, can you be really mindful of every time and make sure, you know, keep the umpires in check? Because it's a huge rule, and I think overrates have been a big discussion in world cricket for the last few years, and the other measures haven't worked. So, look, I think the ICC are definitely keen to clamp down, and it's going to be a game changer because, you know, there's going to be a game where that really hurts you. And, it's a good example for us last night. We're normally pretty good. I think you just mentioned there we didn't bowl a lot of spin last night, so that could be a factor as well. We're used to Jess Jonathan, you know, getting Jess Jonathan and Sophie Molyneux getting through their eight overs in about 15 minutes. So, that hurt us last night and something we got to be better at. You know, definitely not the umpire's fault. We were well aware of the rule.
Motty, one other interesting rule that is particular to women's T20 cricket is that you're only allowed four fielders outside the circle after the power play. And in men's cricket, most people would be aware that it's five. Gee, that puts a little bit of pressure on spinners, in particular against a team like England, who are very adept at playing those lap shots over their shoulders and sort of opening up all 360 degrees of the ground.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's a real point of difference in the women's game. And initially it was there to try and lift scoring rates. But I think it's going to come a time where we'll have to review it because, the power that's in the women's game at the moment has gone up, tenfold in the last couple of years. I'm just watching this game here, Elise Filani whacking it round. And they're hitting the pickets hard here at Karen Rolton Oval. So it's good at the moment. I think it always leaves the bowling side vulnerable because you can't just close off one side of the field. And then it puts extra pressure on your execution. But as I said, it's a bit of a point of difference. It's so funny when you go back to men's cricket, it looks like a completely different game with that extra fielder out. I know it's only one fielder, but it's certainly a real security blanket if we were able to have that one extra fielder.
Matty, Darcy Brown, still well and truly in the mix. She's been very impressive in her work.
Yeah, she has. We're going to manage her well.
Yep.
We've got big hopes for Dar. She's a world beater, I think, in the making. You've just got to be careful with her. And
I love watching her bowl.
Yeah, she's a superstar, and her and Paola Vlaminck, I think, will just change the face of women's cricket in Australia. They rip in and they bowl fast and swing it. So those two will probably dovetail for a little while. We're very keen to play them in the Test match. So with the congested schedule, it's pretty hard to play them in every game. So Darcy's definitely ready to go, and she'll play a big part in the back end of the series.
Just to wrap things up, Motty, what sort of a coach are you like? Are you an aggressive coach or you're a passive coach? I'm interested in that because I remember in your younger playing days, and you're a very aggressive young man as a batter. I remember a poor, unsuspecting young left-arm medium pacer who was copping a gobful from you as you were whacking him to all parts. What are you like as a coach? A bit more relaxed?
I think I'm pretty relaxed, mate. I was quite a young coach when I got in there. I was only 31, and I reckon I made a few mistakes early trying to be a little bit too passionate. And so over time you realise, you're the barometer for the room. So if you're up and down and, a little bit emotional, then you're not doing the best by the group. So, I'm pretty relaxed by nature, and I think it works for me. One of the big things about coaches is you just got to be yourself, to be honest. I think You can try and be something you're not, and players and other staff will quickly pick up on that. So, we're a pretty relaxed character. I like my golf and my days off as well. So I think that's part of how we roll within this team.
Exactly.
Motty, congratulations on the opening win. I know it's one of seven games that you've got in this Commonwealth Bank Women's Ashes series. Great start. Good luck for the rest of the series. And thank you for joining us on Sports Day.
Thanks, Matty.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support. Take care.
Hopefully we'll get that game of golf in too. COVID will get behind us and we can take some money out of your pocket, mate.
You do a bit of work for a change. Okay, gone. Always playing bloody golf. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys. See you later.
Matthew Mott, our guest, the coach of the Australian cricket team. The super fast-charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au.
Is this going to be a one-sided affair like the men's or not?
No. I thought England weren't too bad last night, and I reckon they gave Australia a few concerns with what they did, in particular at the top of the order. Danny White, a very good player. Yep. And if Tammy Beaumont gets away, Heather Knight, another very, very good player at the top.
Beautiful.
I am worried about their bowling, though, because they look like they didn't have an answer to the way Lanning and McGrath went about it. So that's going to be the concern. How do they get Australian wickets? They've only got one in 20 overs or 17 overs so far. That will be the big concern for them.
Beautifully said, Benny. Beautifully said.
But there's plenty of cricket left to play, as they say, KG. KG, we are off to a break. On the other side, we're going to be catching up with young, up-and-coming South Australian golfer Crystal Blum. Looking forward to chatting to her. Don't go away. You're talking? You're listening to Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, you're listening to Sports Day SA with Ben Hook and Ken KG Cunningham. The week's open line, if you want to get in contact with us, it's 8223 0000. Save $45,000 on your next home with Week's Homes. Play Keno from only $1 a game. With a draw every few minutes, there's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today. Gamble responsibly. Well, KG, I tell you what, the Melbourne International, the inaugural WPGA Melbourne International, gets underway at La Trobe Golf Club on Monday. One of our very own, young Crystal Blum, who did very nicely up there at Royal Queensland for the WPGA Championship last week, played really well. I think a top 10 finish for her, which was excellent. We're looking forward to seeing how she performs in the Melbourne International, and she joins us now. Crystal Blum, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Very exciting for you that you're finally getting some Australian tournaments to play after what's felt like forever.
Yeah, it's been a long time sort of waiting, I guess, for us, but nah, it's so good to be back playing again on home soil and have a full Aussie summer of events sort of on the schedule. So yeah, it's looking great.
What was the experience of last week like? The WPGA Championship was intertwined with the Australian PGA Championship. You were playing for the inaugural Currie Webb Cup. It was won by Sue Oh. I mean, there's some star players. Sarah Jane Smith was in the field as well. Karis Davison, who, of course, you'll be up against this week. But just tell us what the experience was like. There was TV. There was men's players all mixed in with the women's players. It must have been an amazing event.
Oh, it was awesome to be a part of, especially being the first one that they've kind of done for the women. But yeah, I mean, as soon as they have the events alongside the men, it's always such a great atmosphere. And the crowds last week were amazing. Like, there were so many people out supporting, which was great to see because, I mean, I guess for Australian golf fans, it's been a long time for them to be able to actually watch some professional golf in Australia. So nah, it was awesome to be a part of and a great way to sort of kickstart the summer.
Now, Crystal, what are you hoping for next week at the Melbourne International? What are your hopes and dreams for that?
Oh, it'd be great to get a win. It's definitely kind of my game sort of getting there, and I guess it's early in the season, so you never really know. You're a bit rusty and things like that. But yeah, I'd love to sort of feature again, like top 10, top 5, but ultimately you're kind of playing for that win. And yeah, fingers crossed I can get over the line.
Beautiful.
$7,500 goes in the skyrocket for the winner as well, KG.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Crystal's got her eye on it. Hey, Crystal, it's an interesting event. It's a two-day event. The first day will be Pro-Am, which means you've got to sort of mix it with duds like KG and myself hacking up La Trobe Golf Course. But then if you can just get through that, you get a chance to have some fresh air on day two. So some extra challenges for the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to have sort of some Pro-Ams on the schedule. Like, at the end of the day, it's how we're able to compete more and get, I guess, playing experience. Like, you can't always get the big tournaments and the sponsors sort of to back it. So, nah, I mean, it'll be fun. And generally, like, there's always a few laughs had and everyone sort of keeps it pretty lively in the Pro-Am. So you just sort of treat it as like a bit of a fun day and let the golf just work itself out. But yeah, no, looking forward to it.
And Crystal, you won the Athena tournament last year. Will you play that tournament again this year?
No, not this year. So the Athena is an event. It'll have a different winner every year. So the defending champion won't go back to defend. Just to kind of give every sort of up-and-coming Aussie, I guess, the ability and the chance that I got from winning. It's such a great event that they sort of come up with. To have the, like, Foxtel and KO sort of live broadcast is a huge asset and great experience for, like, us young sort of up-and-comers, because it's not something that you always have at events in Australia. Like, unless you're playing in the big ones, you don't get that experience, and you really put yourself in a completely different pressure situation. So, no, it's really good, and I can't wait to see who ends up walking away with the 30,000 this year. And, yeah, I'm sure I'll be involved some way or another. But yeah,
30,000, nice. Just drops into the skyrocket.
I imagine you blew a bit of that last year, didn't you, Crystal?
There's not much of that left. It was a tough COVID travel year last year. But, no, it was great. Like, it gave me the opportunity to sort of head over and be able to compete again, which some people weren't fortunate enough to do, and I thankfully was. So, no, it can be a life-changing thing for the next person that holds that trophy.
Now, Crystal, I've got to take you to task. I mean, most people, when they're thinking about who is going to be their caddy, they want someone who can walk out yardages, who knows how to read putts, who has a great understanding of what the mental pressures of going on through the game. And you have appointed, would you believe, a bloke who's got no idea about golf whatsoever. Good friend of mine, but I tell you what, I'm worried that you're going to have 15 clubs in the bag. He's going to be, you know, rummaging his hands in the sand, you name it. Greg Moulton, legend of real estate and business here in South Australia. How did you end up with him carrying your bag for you this week?
Me and Greg have been working together with some sort of life coach mental sort of side of things, and he's been great. And yeah, he just wanted to sort of be able to come out and I guess actually see me on the golf course and how I go about things, and I guess you can sort of look into things a little bit more and see things that you probably wouldn't necessarily always talk about to someone. So he was already going to be in Melbourne, and I said, oh, well, I mean, if you want to pull the bag for the day, like, more than welcome. So I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. He's a good character, good sense of humour.
He's a ripper.
Yeah. Now, Crystal, you're a former Henley High School student, I believe. Mum and dad have been involved in golf. Was golf for young Crystal always the go?
Not really. I mean, when I was growing up, I played basically every sport there was, whether it was athletics, soccer, netball, basketball, tennis. So I kind of did everything, but I always had a passion for golf. And probably not always, but it's good when you like something and you're good at it. So yeah, I guess
helps.
That was where I kind of went.
Good on you.
And I reckon South Australian golf, and you'd keep an eye on the young amateurs up and coming. Caitlin Pearce has just come fourth at the Avondale Amateur. We're seeing even younger girls like Reagan Denton perform really well. Tilly Miles has been a young performer from Cooyonga. So you're sort of ahead of the pack, I suppose, Crystal, but it must be great for you to see a number of young girls taking up the sport and really developing.
Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, SA's always had a lot lower numbers when it's come to the women's and the junior girls, like, getting into it. So it's good to see, like, so many more out there. And I guess the more that there is of us, the better it is for other young juniors to sort of be interested and take the game up. So hopefully, like, yeah, there's more that keep coming through and they can sort of follow the journey and path that many of us have and will in the future.
She's playing for $50,000 on Monday in the WPGA Melbourne International, $7,500 to the winner. Crystal Plum, we hope that at the end of the day Tuesday, that check is in your pocket. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
Thanks, Crystal.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Crystal Plum there, our special guest, a young up-and-coming star golfer. Her parents run the North Haven Golf Club. Yeah. Mum's the golf pro, dad's the superintendent.
Well, it was always going to be golf under those circumstances.
You couldn't really have escaped it, could you?
Not really. What would
you do with $5,000? Not $7,500
would be handy.
Yeah, that young Crystal's after. But what could you do with $5,000? Well, thanks to My Money House, you could win $5,000 cash. And you don't even have to hit a golf ball around a golf course to do it. For details or your chance to win, visit icanwin.com.au. My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms. Well, KG, that wraps us up for the weekend.
Another week. I can't believe that just flew. Okay, it flew.
A couple of big games of cricket tomorrow. Well, tonight, of course, it's the Strikers.
One.
So that's a massive massive game taking on the Hurricanes.
They're almost good things. I honestly really believe it.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see. So, of course, and then it's the Women's Ashes series returns to Adelaide Oval tomorrow with Australia and England in a couple of T20s from 1:30. Thanks very much for your company, everyone. We've really enjoyed our time here on Sports Day. Hope you've enjoyed it too. Have a great weekend. KG, we'll see you on Monday.
Good on you, Benny.
Bye, everyone.
Sports Day for Kia, the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.